This is message, M-019. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. A word given by Cecil J. DuSeal, 13th of November, 1970.
This morning, we want to speak on we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. Sometimes flesh and blood comes into the warfare. But as we get into this battle, we will know that we are dealing with life and death. People get killed, do get killed, naturally killed, spiritually killed, and that we are dealing in an area of labor which is a life and death struggle. And we are not resting against humanity. Remember, please, for God's sake, sometimes we get very strong in our preaching, and sometimes personalities seem to be crushed by words. But remember, it's not the personalities we are talking about. It's the spirits that govern the personalities. Brethren, if you can dissociate the spirit from the man, you have gone a far way in doing God's business. Because when men do things, they do them because of the spirit which motivates them. They don't, very often the men who do great, terrible, wicked acts, they themselves are not wicked and not terrible, but they have submitted to a spirit that is wicked, is terrible, is vicious, and therefore in warring we strike at the spirit, and the man seemed to be hit. I have seen men thrown down to the ground as if it were with a violent hand, but those men get up and say they never got hurt, they never felt it. It was a spirit action, and God himself never made the human physical body get the hurt, but that the spirit which motivated the man was cut so suddenly that the man was torn inside. And we find this condition persisting in our associations and in our carrying on with God. We are not dealing with individual people. We are dealing with spirits. Oh, glory to God. When we speak of a system, when we speak of Babylon, when we speak of the whole conglomeration of Babylonish coming together in gathering, we are talking about a demonic system which has been brought together to fight and to wrestle and to kill. Amen. Them that are called by the name of God. We are not dealing with individuals. In between, individuals get themselves enmeshed in. And I am thanking God that I have the faith that God is taking out all his sons out of Babylon at this time. And I am not to draw back the sword. If God is pushing forward with his fight, I don't want to get in between it. May God help me that I will not be a human being at all in the midst. Amen. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. I mean, my humanity must not come in. My desires must not come in. My emotions must not come in. But I would like God to have his way. And when God begins to use my emotions or my desires, then it is not me but Christ that dwelleth in me. Amen. Blessed be the God we see, the Bible said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Way down there, almost 2,000 years ago, 1,900 something like that years ago. It's almost 2,000 years ago. The apostle wrote, he said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work in the church. He saw it. It was a mysterious working, amen, of an antichrist or a pseudo-Christ system. Better word, a false Christ system that was working itself through the church. The false Christ don't want to be out there. He wants to be in the church. So a false Christ system was working in the church to deceive. Amen. The adversary never did win a clean victory. He never did win a clean victory, over anybody. But he expects to win a dirty victory by deception. For if he makes you know what he's doing, everybody will fight against him. Amen. And the Bible said if you resist him, he can't stand it. He'll flee from you. So we find that the enemy went to the woman. That woman was full of human feelings. She wanted really to just surprise God and said, look at this, I'm perfect like you. And God said that he would make them perfect, and she thought that was quite all right. Okay, if he's going to make me perfect, I might as well eat the fruit and be perfect. Since he's going to do it anyhow. And of course, this wasn't her own thoughts. I wanted to understand, has anyone here ever been under the hallucination of a demon? The demon spirit comes over you and casts a spell over you, and things change. You seem to believe that thing there, all of a sudden it becomes something glorious and something edible, and you feel that it is something edible, and there's a desire in you for it, and it is not something edible. What is the best word to describe it? Is hallucination. If you have been under hallucination, then you will understand what I'm talking about. You see things to be what they are not, and you believe things, and then it creates desires in you for things which are not. It's not a real desire. I mean, to you it's real because you desire the thing, but that's not what you wanted. If you were awakened and you realized what it is, you wouldn't want it because you were under a spell. Well, this is what the enemy did to Eve, and this is what the enemy is trying to do to the church. This is what the enemy has done to every church. Every church has gone forward thinking they are serving God and serving the devil. I could trace you the history of the church coming right down in these 2,000 years. The church has never brought forth the Christ of God, which God has intended them to bring forth. God planted the seed in the church that the church might bring forth Christ, and the church has never brought forth any deliverance in the earth. The church has been bringing forth whirlwind gas. Couldn't bring forth a child to please God. And so God has at last got a group of people who will deafen their ears. Amen. Who will close their eyes. Amen. And who will go onward, because it is warfare, and this warfare means death for some and life for some. And I do not know, as a soldier, they teach you to kill. When you are going in the army, they teach you to kill. As a soldier of Christ, God is teaching you to make alive. Yeah. Amen. And when God teaches you to make alive, those who will not be made alive are automatically on the side of death. The word of God cannot hurt you, brethren. As I have been telling you, I said, go preach the word to anybody. Give them anybody. Because the Lord said that he had his people away down from the church of the firstborn. Remember, those who just come in, just be saved, they are God's people too. Amen. But he said that 144,000 figure, not number of persons, but a symbolic number of people who would be a 144,000 people. The 144,000 is the name of a people. That people would accept this word. He said, because they could sing a song that no man else could sing. You can't make your husband sing that song. You can't make your child or your wife or your brother sing that song. Because the song is only taught within the man by the Spirit of God. And only God knows. For if you are learning that song, then verily well you are of the company that shall walk into life.
Amen.
I want you to see clearly with me that the message we are bringing forward is a message of life. People who fight against the message of life, they are slain. Paul said, God, he said, take Hymenaeus out of the way. Kill the body named Hymenaeus, that the soul might live. Said, destroy the body, that the soul might live. Was he cruel?
No.
He was in love. Yeah. That's the only hope for Hymenaeus. And as I have told you before, brethren, you're all women, most of you who have children. And you know what it is to love your one child or your child, whether it be one or not, to just love that child. And you have a special soul feeling for that child outside of the love of God, which the Bible calls, which we call mother's love and our parent father's love. All right, look here. If tonight God should lift you up into the heavenlies and should tell you that it is the last chance your girl or your boy has to make heaven today. Amen. And God would put the power in your hand either to move the body out of the way or what we call kill him or her. Or allow him to go on and be in hell, cross that borderline with God and turn against God forever. Every mother here who loves God would say, God, take him home. Much to my grief and pain, but take him. And that's what Paul did for Hymenaeus. He said, Lord God, move this body out of the way, that the body does not condemn the soul. For if he continues much longer fighting against the truth, he is going to lose his soul. Amen. So, the Bible said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I can remember the night when the Spirit of God saved me in a battle by these words. I was in a battle. I didn't even know I was in the battle. This man decided that he was going to kill me. He said, he came to me, he said, I'm going to kill you. He got a lot of people together and he preached to them. He said, this man is finished. Now this man was one of these great what you call sorcerers, or I don't know what you'd call it in here. No, it was worse than that. He would call the demon spirits and he would speak to them and he said, go over there and hit John.
Medium?
Well, I don't know that medium does those things really, you know. A medium kind of just between the spirit and the people. But he would say, he would call these spirits and he would say to them, go and do so and so, and they would do it. And he would offer them blood and sacrifice and all that sort of thing. Real devil worship type of thing. And he said, well, he was going to kill me, so I just didn't notice him. I just laughed at him. Night I went home, sat down on my bed, was about to go into bed when I actually went into bed and had my hand behind my head like this, when suddenly I noticed that I was looking clean through the concrete wall. I said, well, this is peculiar. The wall is solid. I'm not sleeping. I get up. I look. I see as clear as day through the wall. Black glass. Pure glass. And I begin to notice the things. I even noticed the bucket in the yard that was, they forgot the water bucket to put it back on the hook. And I said, well, something is about to happen because this is supernatural. And so I kept looking until I saw a very tall man, could be 9 feet. He stalked into the yard like a hunter looking around. And as I saw him, I knew it was a spirit. I knew I was seeing a spirit. So I jumped off the bed and was about to shout at him, really. The word didn't come out of my mouth. He came through the wall so fast, got me my throat, pushed me down back on the bed. And I was about to struggle, of course, you know, in a case like that, you are flesh and you're just going to fight back. And God just came very peacefully in my left ear and said, it's not a natural battle, it's a spiritual battle. And as he said that, I got the message just like that. I just relaxed. And that guy began to choke me, cut the wind off entirely. And I began to bring up the cross before me. And I could see, imagine now, I had to use my own mind. This was no vision, no. I had to. And I brought up the cross and I saw Jesus hanging on the cross. And I see the blood begin to drop one by one. I said, Mike, this is for me, this is for every deliverance. This is for every power. This is for every demon. And as the blood dropped, and about the third drop of blood that I imagined came down, there was a quickening within me. And I shouted, Jesus! And the thing dropped off of me. And I jumped up and began to rebuke him in the name of the Lord. And this woke up the rest of people, and they came in and we started to speak in tongues and everything. And as much as we didn't want this to happen, the man who told me he was going to kill me, a healthy strong man, he was struck dead. We didn't kill him. We didn't kill him. He had unleashed something that we knew not. Something from hell that was so dark and so terrible that it killed him. And this was not a death sent forth to him, but life sent forth from us. Yeah, because this thing just couldn't manage us. And whatever it was, God had already called me the night before and told me, and I just didn't believe. I said, God, what are you showing me this for? That's my business. You are the one who keeps the city. Amen. You said you are the keeper of the city. And if this man is doing something that is strange, he said, I am not even concerned about it. So I just forgot the thing. And this is what happened. And brethren, as I can say to you, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Brother, when again, we showed that to you the night before, were you supposed to do something about it?
No, I just couldn't do anything but pray. Of course, I suppose God was just warning me to keep in the spirit.
Amen.
For if I wasn't in the spirit, I'd be a goner.
Amen.
You better believe it. I just believe that I'm so sure of that. If I was not in the spirit, I'd be a goner. Because that man was really killed. I mean, and he was buried. So it was no joke. You see, he had been preaching for months before that he's going to kill me. And he told us, he went, jumped on the train, he called a big crowd before him. He told them, he said, "This is finished." And he said, "I'm going off to get him fixed." And he said, "He's finished." And he went off. Amen. And this is what happened. You see, I am just saying this to you because some of you do not understand what we are up against. And in your realm here, there are so many things against you and so many of you being torn apart by spirits, and you don't know that it is just pathetic. It is just pathetic. You don't know the whole body of spirits that are fighting against us. Sometimes you have your good child and you just start acting foolish. Start doing all kinds of things, spirits against him. The enemy is marshalling his forces. God worketh by his spirit and the devil worketh by his spirit. Amen. And for people to say you are superstitious or stupid or something because you believe that there are spirits working, those people themselves, they are hypocrites. Because every living one of them know that spirits are working in this realm, that there are supernatural things happening all around us. Don't tell me a person is going to live to be 15 years of age without knowing that there are spirits working within our realm. So I'm saying that they are contriving to take away from you the Bible that teaches about spirits, and to change all the thoughts in the Bible about spirits and give you a Bible that won't talk about spirits. But they would have to, well, take away the one that's inside of me and the one that is outside of me. Amen. Because the God of heaven is...
Saying a person could not reach the age of 15 without knowing the existence of spirits.
Yeah.
You mean a person who is 15 years a Christian or just 15 natural?
No, I'm just talking of a child 15 years of age. A child.
I was speaking to a man over 40 and I was telling him of the existence of spirits. And, well... You know, he just thought I was absolutely ridiculous.
My brother, I tell you, I've met such men myself. But if you talk to them long enough, you'll find that they had been fighting against the thought. You see, that they have had certain things happening in life and they have been trying to fight and they've trained themselves to fight against the thought. So the moment you come, if they make you convince them, their whole lives are going to be changed. Yeah. So they fight against the thought. If you get down into asking them certain questions, you will find that deep down in their lives, way down yonder, they had seen some manifestation of spirit and they decided to cut against it. And then they had begun to fight. But we ourselves are not natural, carnal, physical things. We are spirits. And if a man lives with himself for 15 years and doesn't find out that he is a spirit, then something is peculiar. When I was 9 years of age, I couldn't learn my... I learned all the tables in the multiplication. I could learn 9 times tables. And I, as a child, realized that there was something basically wrong with 9 times table and myself. That it was just a psychological barrier right there, and I couldn't find out why. Of course, now I know that it was the teacher who was in the class the day that we were learning the nine timetable that I had a resistance against. Psychologically, there was a block between me and that teacher, and I just couldn't learn that table because of that teacher. Okay. Which is the case with many of our children when they can't learn. You'll find a boy can't learn math, it's just because of the teacher. And the teacher deep down in his heart doesn't love math, and therefore the child can't learn math. When I began to teach math to my children, they learned math because I love math. You see. And the way I would fun with them and joke with them and show them math, they just loved that, and so they learned math. Amen. But coming back to this situation, I could learn nine timetables. And so the teacher threatened that anybody who doesn't learn the table next morning would be chastised with the whip, with the cane. And boy, I was in trouble. I just didn't want to be chastised. And it became a worry on my mind. And so I tried to read it and couldn't read it. And in the great distress of mind, I fell asleep on top of the nine timetable. And what do you think happened?
You learned it.
I got up knowing it.
Amen.
In my sleep, I learned the nine timetable and got up knowing it. So, I realized that there was something greater than the ordinary physical natural. There was something more spiritual about. And so after I became an accountant, I would have very vicious problems to overcome. You know, debit and credit is a terrible thing because you can't get out of it. And the people who don't want to pay income tax want you to get out of it, to get them out of a hook after they have done that which is wrong. You see, and you as a representative of a man, you're like a lawyer in a case. You can't go on and plead the case for the opposite side. And so you have some vicious problems at times, and so. I would take the problem and go to bed with it. And whatever solution can be had, I would get the solution in my sleep. You see. So, you might say I'm an exception. But when I talk with men, every man I talk to, I've talked to 80s, I find that deep down in them, there's a fear that they might be overcome by the truth. You see, so that's why they are atheists. They put up a fence, a wall. No man is going to deliberately put up a wall unless he fears something over there. He doesn't want that. He wants a barrier there. And so that is what I have discovered about people who say there are no spirits. But you are a spirit, and you know it. And from the fact of your dreaming, from even the very thought of your dreaming, to the thought of thoughts coming to your mind outside of yourself, to the thought of you thinking about something and your wife away over there getting the message and calling you by the phone and say, well, so and so, and you just thought of it. So the thought from the very idea of you're thinking about John and all of a sudden John knocks at the door. Amen. You know, such things, you lie down inside, you definitely hear some, you expect somebody coming. You hear him coming, and you feel sure that he's there and everything. And then, he wasn't there, but 10 minutes after, here he comes. And things like that, we are spirits and we know it. And people who try to hide these things, they are only putting up a barrier against it. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let's take Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Hallelujah. Chapter 6. We start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. put on the whole armor of God, that armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles. I want you to notice the devil is not making a frontal attack upon you. He's coming with trickery, with wiles. The wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Never you think that the flesh and blood man out there is your enemy. He is never your enemy. He was never your enemy. If he's taken by the devil within him is your enemy. And if you can dissociate men from spirit, you will stop hating. That's the first thing this will do to you. Make you love all men. Make you love all men. Make your tears fall for men when they're fighting against you. Make you know that no man is your enemy, but that there is something within the man that is your enemy. If you can get him free from that thing, never take it a personal battle. Never feel any personality clash between you and an individual. Individuals are spirits, and he must be either a good spirit or an evil spirit. He must either be motivated by good or evil. When you see a man motivated by good this moment and by evil the next moment, you know the answer right away. The man basically is good, but there's an evil that attacks him and overcomes him at times. Don't look at the evil, look at the good. If you encourage the good, it destroys the evil. Amen. So you have no battle to fight. Amen. All you have to do is to call for the Christ in the man. If you know, when we are dealing with our brethren, if you know that a brother is saved, you know he is a brother, you have no fear of him. That in immediately you should go to him with 100% confidence. You know he's going to tear your skin. Go to him with confidence. You know why? Because the evil spirit in him that is tearing you, you are going to overcome it by calling forth the Christ in him. Whatever you say to him, do it. Say it deliberately to call forth the Christ in him, to tempt the Christ to come up within him. You will never see the evil spirit. That evil spirit will fall down because he himself is going to destroy it. I want to see that we get that point before we go any further. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What is the power of the might that is in Christ Jesus? Even the Christ that is within you and within the other man. This is your power, brother. This is your power. That I have a Christ within me that is also within you. Therefore, I don't fear you. I know that if you go fooling around, all I do is call for the Christ in you. And that Christ in you is going to neutralize you. Amen. Hallelujah. If I face a complete devilish man, a man that is taken by spirit, and he's coming at me, and I face him, there is a Christ in me that is greater than the devil in him. Amen. Therefore, the Christ in me rises up and speaks to the devil in him. Stop, devil. He's got to stop. If I am talking of a man with the Christ in him, I discern Christ in him. I say, Christ in my brother, come forth. And the Christ in him rises up and neutralizes that devil. And he stops. Stop him dead. You recognize the Christ. But if you go around discerning the devil in people, you are encouraging the devil. Amen. So the spirit of discernment is not a discernment to discern devil in people. It is a discernment to discern Christ. But in discerning Christ, you discern the devil also. But recognize the Christ. Amen. 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 Come on, let's go again. When you recognize a spirit, it strengthens him. Amen? You have the spirit of discernment, it will kill you, brother. That spirit of discernment will kill you if you don't know what to do when you discern. Now I come along and I see Christ and I see the devil. Now which one am I going to give the right away? Immediately I call forth Christ, because that devil wants a little recognition. Oh, if I say, boy, you are the devil, I see the devil, let me rebuke that spirit. That's exactly what he wants. What happened here the other morning was a very, very good example of what we are wrestling against. We're not wrestling against our brethren. Our brethren are innocent creatures. Our brethren are sweet and good and holy and lovely, just as Christ himself is. Our brethren are caught in a battle. It's a game. For the devil is a great big game. And he's playing his game, deadly game, amen, to capture. And he wants you to agree with him. If he gets you, if you are a pawn, you get on his side, perhaps you help him. And we saw a situation here develop right in this meeting, that somebody started to prophesy in the Lord. First of all, a tongue went forth, and the tongue was a definite message. The person who received the tongue was anointed to give the interpretation. The person spirit of fear hit her, and she wouldn't bring forth the interpretation. She made three times to bring forth the interpretation. The interpretation didn't come forth. Satan wanted that. Therefore, there was something else, somebody else anointed. And I believe she could have brought the interpretation. And she began, and the devil cut right in. And prevented her. She has a block within herself. Now, what does that mean? That means that we, the sons of God, now must rise up and deliver that person. That's all it means, brother. A devil manifest in our midst only means that we must help the person. And if you have a devil, it's right here, you must manifest it. Forgive me, but it's true. If you have a devil, don't be ashamed. You're not ashamed of a devil. You have nothing to do with a devil. The devil comes and attacks you. It must be manifested within here. Amen. Because I don't mind if there's anything wrong in my congregation, in you or in me, that you rise up in the midst of my message and give forth if you feel so pushed or led. Right? Because if there's something wrong in you, something in me is going to help you.
Amen.
And if there's something wrong in me, something in you is going to cut something in me.
Amen.
Yeah. Help me. Good. All right.
Amen.
So right there, the sister began to prophesy, and the enemy began to come in. And the Spirit of God moved on me. And I said, okay, God is moving for me to give a great big rebuke now. Amen. And God said, shut up. And I just clammed down. And the man who was standing beside me heard when the thing came out of me. And I just shut down. Amen. And I knew that we should all stand there in love and peace, and let the power of God flow forth from us, and let the sister prophesy. Just let her go. And she would go to a point where she would be delivered. I believe it. But there was something in some of us that was hurting us now, because some of the same thing was wrong. You see, when Israel fight against Israel, it's trouble, you know. Every time Israel take up the sword to go against Israel, God is going to clean both sides. Amen. You remember that case when God told Israel to go fight Israel? And when Israel went out to cleanse the sin out of Benjamin, the Israel that went to cleanse Benjamin, Benjamin cleansed Israel. He went back again and Benjamin killed them. And then God said, okay, I'll let you clean Benjamin now. You're clean now. So you can clean Benjamin now. Now you take the mote out of your own, out of your eye, before you try to take any old beam. As a matter of fact, God said, a beam is in your eye.
Yeah.
You know what a beam is? You know,
yeah.
That thing that keeps up a whole big building. Not even a matchstick, he said. I like how God writes Bible. He didn't say it was a matchstick in your eye.
No.
Neither did he say it was a toothpick. A big old beam across your eye. He said, okay, let me take out the mote, the little mote that is in your eye. I tell you what's in my eyes like a beam. It's so big I can't clean yours. Amen. I just can't clean yours. God said down in Revelation 7 that, I mean, he didn't say it, but he just did it. He just removed Dan out of the 12 tribes of Israel, fleshy judgment, and just inserted fruit there in Manasseh. And many of the Bible students say it's a mistake. It's no mistake. God deliberately did it, took out fleshy judgment and put in fruitfulness. So we praise God. We come back on this point. I think I missed the point there. Yeah, we were in Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're not wrestling against human beings, but the whole body of darkness is being deliberately, accurately controlled. It's not a wild let go thing. It's a warfare that is being controlled, and the warfare is against the mind of men. The enemy is trying to take the holy place. When he see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then you know that they have taken the holy place. In other words, not what they can't take, but what they can take. The minds of men, when you see the minds of men are taken by the devilish wiles, because it's a deception, God said he would send them strong delusion because they would not believe the truth. He gave them over unto a reprobate mind. Amen. This is the kind of thing that will happen in our time, when men and women will be so given over into believing a lie that they will be blocked against the truth. They have a block against the truth. So we are dealing with spirits, and we are not dealing with men, or neither individuals nor personalities. So therefore, when we see things begin to happen in our midst, as I was talking about the case of yesterday morning, we had the most beautiful explanation of the message that there was the night before. Amen. Because here we had a word coming on soulish prophecies, on spirit prophecy, and on devil prophecy. In other words, we have three realms of operation in the spirit, and each realm looks like God. Each realm looks like God. You can bring forth a word that looks like God, and it's from your own soul. Amen. Your own desires. And you can bring forth a word that looks like God from the enemy also. For he doesn't want to look like the devil anyhow. Who wants to look like the devil? He wants to look like God. So we had a beautiful example of a word coming forth that was mixed and tarnished with soulishness and self, and it developed, and so it hurt some of us so badly that somebody got up and rebuked it. Amen. And that rebuke caused an explosion. It didn't help. Because if you believe you are right, you're going to hold on to that spirit which is motivating you. And it caused the person to do something that the person didn't plan to do. That is, take over the meeting and cause a confusion. They didn't plan that. She didn't intend that. She didn't want that within herself. She didn't want that. She's a good person. But that which motivates her was contrary. And the contrary spirit manifested itself. Amen. And so we saw it right here in our midst. This is what we've been talking about. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, human beings, but we are wrestling against spirits. And because we are wrestling against spirits, try, for God's sake, take all personalities out of the case, including yourself. Amen. You know, I have seen people, they have a thing called travailing. And they get into a travail. And I have your burden, sister. And I am travailing with your burden. And I can't be set free unless you are delivered. Look here, it's a dangerous thing. You know what we are doing? We are taking the person's spirit on ourselves, and the spirit doesn't lead a person to come to you. The devil only gives you a spirit of burden, the same burden that the person has. If the person has a sickness in his abdomen, you take the sickness from him. You don't take it actually from him, but you take it also. The same spirit that occupies a man occupies you, and the spirit might even oblige you by leaving the man and coming to you. And then going back to him at another time. Because one spirit confessed that he had occupied five people. Yes, they cast out the spirit. And the spirit confessed that he had occupied five different people at various times. He was a very powerful spirit. And when he was in this body tormenting this person, the person would go on a certain way, and it drive the person almost crazy. So therefore he eased off, came out, went into another body, and while that other person was acting up, this one was relaxed and delivered and could rest and eat and be normal. Amen. And the doctors have a way of calling it lucid moments. Amen. Lucid moments when the spirit would withdraw himself from oppressing the person so that the body might be cured and take up more energy and could, amen, that he can come back again. And he would do his rounds and have a good time. Amen. And this also is in the line of what these people call reincarnation. Now, if anybody here is mixed up in reincarnation or has been mixed up in reincarnation, get the word of the Lord. Reincarnation is the coming in of a spirit. The whole image of Babylon is reincarnation, if you understand what I mean. The demon spirits that have been living in people's bodies for thousands of years are leaving dead bodies and going into living bodies. Therefore, a spirit having occupied a person takes the personality of the person. He studies, he programs the person. My God, I wish I could explain it to you. But some of you who know about computers, You program a computer, the computer will behave like a person, because you have put the personality of a person within the computer. That is, if you know what Dushil would answer under a given circumstance, and a good psychologist gets me and exactly how I would answer, how I would talk, how I would behave, how I would operate, and he puts that into a computer. And you, brethren, come and you ask the question, a question, just as you would ask me. Probably 90% they could make a computer to be right, exactly as I would answer. Right? And so, a demon spirit can even do better than an other human agent in programming a person. And he can take your personality and go out there and answer almost directly as you would answer. Not only that, but in the tone of voice. We have seen children born with knowledge to play a piano and become great overnight celebrities in musical instruments. And those children never learned. And they behave. When you see that boy on the piano, he behaves like a great pianist of some past time. And he will even get the same mannerisms. Generally, he gets the same sickness that that old pianist had. Amen. And he behaves that way because the spirit or the personality of that pianist had been captured by a demon spirit who occupied the man. That same spirit comes and occupies another child or a boy or another man, and behold, the man lives again in another body. You call it reincarnation. Oh God. Amen. I don't know if somebody here is having problems with reincarnation. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers. Not the little two-bit demons down here. Not the little idiotic demons. You know, you have some idiotic demons that don't know much. I don't know if you know that. But you have demons with great big acumen and the ability to just pick up like that. And they learn and they keep learning and they are wise and they are powerful. You have some that are just idiotic. Don't know much. You can deceive them. You can tying him around your finger. Amen. Like one that came to me one time, and I wanted to know how much he knew, and God just helped me, and I got to find out that he didn't know much. He didn't know what was in my mind. He didn't know I had planned to deceive him, to pretend like I was sleeping, for instance, and he thought I was sleeping and everything like that, and he stood over me here and everything like that. But so great power of spiritual forces and influences that war against us. God is saying to you, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And when God gives you this Bible, he has given you everything. All the power whereby you might overcome these things. So, the enemy worked by his spirits. Praise God. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the rulers of the darkness of this world. All the darkness of this world, from your financial darkness, your economic system, right back to all the darkness of this world is being motivated and being run by demonic powers. That's why the Bible says, round in Revelation 17, that Babylon is fallen. 17 or 18, I think. 18. He said, Babylon is fallen because she had become the whole of every evil bird and beast. He's not talking about natural birds and beasts, but demon powers have taken charge of the world forces. The forces of the world have been taken over by demonic forces, and all our economics and everything is being run in a way to bring us to one great big crash. Then they hope that we would fall into their hands. So spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, now I'm going to give you the defense against this. Take unto you the whole armor of God, because part of the armor of God will leave you part protected and part undefended, exposed. He says, take the whole armor. Now, let's watch it now. See what the whole armor is. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And this here was speaking of the day of temptation that shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the face of the earth. If you notice, he said that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. He was speaking of a specific time, a specific day, where evil would be let go in a way it had never been before. And I want to think that this is this time of what we call tribulation. I don't know if you heard the message on the tribulation, but the tribulation is basically two sections. The tribulation that the people of the world are going to receive is that which comes from God and the people of God. The tribulation that the people of God are going to receive is basically that which comes from the devil and the people of the world. Amen. Don't you see? God isn't sending plagues down for you. Amen. But the people of the world and the devil is planning certain reception for you. Amen. So, that's what we're talking about. Now, he said, in the evil day, having done all to stand, now stand. Amen. He's having done all to stand, run, brother. You know, having done all to stand, he's saying, stand, don't run after you have done everything to stand. Now stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, can you stand the truth? Do you know that all of us cannot bear the truth? Jesus looked at his disciples and said, well, I wish I could tell you everything. He said, but I can't tell you everything. He said, some of it you can't bear it now. You have got to be in a condition before you can really bear the truth.
Amen.
Amen. And this condition is a stripped condition. One by wherein you have been stripped of your carnal desires, your carnal natures, your carnal feelings, emotions within, and you can't bear to hear the truth, because the truth is very rough at times upon the carnal man. Very hard. Jesus knew they couldn't take it. He said, you can't bear the truth. And I can tell you, brethren, remember when I say brethren, I mean everybody. of course, in our country we say brethren and it means the church. But somebody told me that when I'm saying brethren, they feel that it's a sister. Somebody was talking to me last night about it. Say, I only speak to the brethren. I don't mean that. I say brethren, I mean the church. We're all brethren. Yes, we're all brethren. We don't have sisters. Praise God. Yes. Stand therefore, having your loins girded. Some of us can't stand the truth. It is vicious at times against our carnal nature. And I think it is as painful to me as it is to you. But take, for instance, the truth that came out last night. When I went home and thought over it, I figured that if I knew that that brother sitting in the back there was a Roman Catholic priest, I might not have torn him like that. I figured it. But I just didn't hear. And I know it was the Lord. I just know it was the Lord. And it's going to do him so much good.
Yes. Amen.
That I went back and I repented. I said, God, I wish I could have said that, knowing that you are speaking through me, if I even knew it was a Roman Catholic priest. You follow what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, our word is to be so pure that personalities mustn't come into it at all.
Amen.
Amen. If there is a whiplash to be given to one over there, then you lash him with life, not with death.
Amen.
Because you know it's bringing life.
Amen.
Amen. I can remember the time when I was torn. And I was so badly torn, I said, God, I won't take this from anybody. My brother told me something, and I tell you, the thing tore my soul so much, I went inside, locked up myself. I said, God, you've got to speak to me. Amen. That morning, by 3 o'clock in the morning, God spoke to me in a way that as long as I live, I can't forget it. Amen. Imagine we were arguing about a brother who, whether the brother was really a brother or not, whether he was gone to hell or to heaven. I mean, that was a very wrong thing to be arguing about. But this brother, my brother, was saying that this brother was fighting against God because he claimed that he was saved and he was cursing the Holy Ghost. And he was against our speaking in tongues and against receiving the Holy Ghost and against this and against our church and against everything. And suddenly that brother met an accident and he took leukemia. And all of us gave our blood, but he just kept using up blood and he just got tired of living anyhow. They kept him alive for a year and eventually he had to die. So, when he died, now, we put him in heaven. We put him in the highest heaven, and that he was saved, that he believed Jesus. And though he was smoking and drinking, and I mean, you know, not out of order in any way, but just wasn't walking there with God. We felt that he's gone to heaven because he accepted Jesus as his Savior. Amen. But then my brother was saying it is not possible, because if God would make two different rules, so one for one man and one for the other, then this man is in hell. And the thing tore me so badly that I went into God and prayed, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, what do you think happened? But that man stepped right into my room and grabbed my hand, shook my hand. I said, but you're dead. How do you come here? And he said to me, he was passing, and he had such a strong impulse to come to me that he just had to come to say hello. And I said, oh my goodness, we've been talking about you last night. And I said, where are you? I mean, it was such a bad question, you know. You can't ask that in the spirit. And he hung down his head and He couldn't answer. I said, well, okay, sorry. I know you can't answer such a question. Where are you coming from? He said, well, I was over here, and I went over to there, and I was back that side, and I had to come back this side, and I went back to this side, and another spirit was with him standing one side while we were talking. And he said, and the spirit in me said, to and fro through the whole earth. To and fro through the whole earth. And boy, it hurt me. Oops. And I just began to weep. And this brother, or supposed to have been brother, he began to sob so heavily that I've never seen a human being cry like that. And when one cry would fail him, and he would pick up himself again, and it was a moan, and he was back down on the ground. And I was so sad to know that he had lost his soul. And the other spirit came up to me and said, please discharge him. Up to then I didn't know that I had him there, but I had called to God so hard that God decided to give me an object lesson. And
I say earlier that he had blasted the Holy Ghost.
Well, you know, it's the kind of thing that most of these evangelicals do.
You see, woe to them that blast the Holy Ghost.
Well, you see, the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is really because I myself, when I saw those people talking in tongues, or I used to park them on the street side. I used to just say church nonsense. I mean, I never did ever stop and listen to it. As I hear the nonsense out there, I just went the other way. So when it comes to tongues, and yet God, when I cried to God and asked him to fill, I didn't know anything about filling with the Holy Ghost, but I asked for power like what Peter and Paul had. I myself began to talk in the tongues just like the people that I had rejected. You see, but these people, they have a lot of doctrines against. And this man wasn't much anyhow. He wasn't too much in it. But this is the situation that I'm talking about.
I was wondering, Brother, you said the other night that you had not heard him say that he was a Catholic priest. Now, of course, you were up front, quite a distance from him.
Yeah.
But I was very close to him, about three feet away, and I didn't hear him say this, and yet we were discussing this, of course, the group, you know, when we left.
Yes.
And some in the group were sitting as far away from him as you were, and maybe even further, and one person in particular is even a little on the hard of hearing side, heard him say that he was a Catholic priest. And so they said, well, how come you couldn't hear? I mean, after all, he said it, you know, because I wasn't aware of it until we were discussing it. Now, my question, why is it that I, as close as I was, and you where you were, didn't hear him say that, and yet others in the congregation at various distances did?
Yeah. Well, because I figured there must be somebody to witness with me that there was something supernatural going on there. Why I heard him speak everything else and didn't hear that part of it, and never even thought of it.
Another thing too, this may be part of it too, I didn't think of it until a little while later. Until that man left, there was a spirit of slumber on me, if you noticed it. But anyway, there was,
yeah.
And I was just thinking about, well, I ate too much, you know, that, what was wrong with that. But after he left, I perked up. And I was sitting, as they say, with about 3 or 4 feet from him, and I was fighting that slumber, you know. And I would hear, and then I'd nod, and I'd hear, and I thought myself, well, I nodded just at the wrong time. That's why I didn't hear him say that he was a Catholic priest. But I don't think you were nodding.
No, I wasn't.
I don't believe he is a Catholic priest. Yes, he is.
Yeah, he said he was.
He attended, last Saturday morning, he attended the interchurch group.
Well, we had a Catholic Bible with him.
Yes, he was.
Well, I have seen him about 2 blocks from where I live quite often, and I have never seen him anyway but the way he was dressed last night. And he goes into the restaurant 2 blocks from me. And I knew I'd seen him. And I asked the Lord, I kept asking the boss, and we both found out he goes to a restaurant down to my house. And I have seen him there many, many times. And I thought he would in the middle.
Well, whatever happens, I know God is working on him.
Yes.
God is working on him. And if God leads you to talk to him, you never miss the opportunity.
Amen.
You see, but remember, it's just love. We are not really preaching against people. This is a demonic system that is going on and has been going on. And a person has got to be very, very, very blind and not read at all, not to know that the Bible here, in very strong terms, has called the church system the whore that gives the people to drink from of the fornication of all the kings of the world are fornicated with this ecclesiastical system. From the golden cup, which is the very nature of God, that God had put in the church, that they took on their hold with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have got to believe it. It's a very unfortunate thing. I've got to go on, the message isn't through. Yes,
please. Yeah. I just asked them,
yes.
I wanted to know who the other spirit was, and when you said they needed discharging, what happened?
Well, I just said, you are discharged. And he went weeping and falling on the ground, weeping and falling on the ground. And the both of them went away. And I was so grieved that I rushed off to my mother and my aunt, who were belonging to the Baptist church, and themselves, who, you know, sometimes talk against the Holy Ghost manifestation. I tell them not to, and they must repent, because, and I told them what God showed me and everything like that. But I myself was corrected in the matter, because I was on the wrong side of the argument, you see. But here is the kind of situation. God has shown me that people who are saved, they have a desire to go on. The people who just receive a form and a doctrine, you see, they believe they are saved, but some of them are not saved. But the people who are really saved, they have something in them. Check on everybody here, and you will save as much as your friends who are out there, and some who don't care. You and them were to the Lord, and yet they can't calm themselves. There is something very peculiar. The mystery of iniquity works, but God works in the midst of it all. Anytime you have that quickening of God in you, you have a desire to go to that point of baptism, which is a laver, which is the second stage, which is death. Bury the old man. You might not do it. You might go baptized in the water, and yet you're not baptized in the Spirit, and you have a struggle there, and you struggle too. But there is a going on. There is a struggle. Amen? You see two people doing one evil. Two people are doing the same thing, yet they are entirely different. One man is doing the evil, and he has got a conscience that's killing him inside. The other man is doing the evil with great joy. Amen. Absolutely different.
This is the end of message, M-019. We wrestle not against flesh and blood,